Hello, everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another edition of Music Video Land Podcast, brought to you by your super 100% good friends at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. We got all the music videos. My name is Adam, and then with me, as always, last week he was in Pompano Beach, Florida, and from the first time from New York City is Mr. Doug Klinger. How you doing, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. I'm at Hayden 5 Production Company. They let me use a computer and a chair.
And how was your new job at the Garmin factory?
It's going well. I sold a polo today to a nice man with
Garmin
a beard.
Factory, you don't sell a polo, you sew them.
Whatever.
And north of with us again, as usual, is Mr. Adam Alexander, north of the wall of Fringe Music Fix. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to talk about some music videos.
Mm. Well, first we're going to be talking about some alpacas, some killer alpacas. And for that, we have a guest who is an expert in this topic, and that is director Mr. Tim Hendricks. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
And the reason you are an expert in killer alpacas is because last week you released the music video for Make Some Noise by Valentino Khan, featuring DJ Kool, which we absolutely love. And if you haven't seen it, we will put a link to it in the show notes. And we want to talk a little bit about this video because, first of all, just a little bit of anyway, it's tough to summarize the plot. But anyway, killer alpacas, giant ones, are pretty much what you need to know. Is that how you would summarize this video, Tim?
More or less, yeah.
I was wondering why you chose alpacas, because you probably had some choice for animal, right?
Well, this is a funny story, actually. This treatment existed for a long time. It was a very cold, calculated move. I knew that the manager of Pains of Being Pure at Heart, and I was like, you know, I really want a staff pick, and I have to work with a hipster band to make that easy, and I should put kittens in the video. So I pitched them this exact idea, and they loved it, but it was with kittens instead of alpacas. And I was like, the manager was super into it. Some other mysterious person who works for Pains of Being Pure at Heart was being really into it. Everyone's super into it. It almost happened, and then I guess the band hates kittens. I don't know. Anyway, so
kind of band
that kind of went in the slush pile, and then later Alsla hit me up for this video, and I think they kept asking me for treatments. They went through like 9 treatments, and I just kept sending old discarded shit. I sent them this old Orwell's pitch about people punching the band, money coming out, and like all these different things. And eventually, they're just like, "What if we had the kitten?" One, but with alpacas. And I was like, well, cool. I mean, alpacas are cool. They spit.
And where do
I've always wanted a pet one.
Well, where do you get, like, where do you find an alpaca?
Well, the place you've rented them from is called Zebras R Us.
we know them well. Shout out to Zebras R Us. Our good
big ups to Zebes.
Yeah, so they brought 3 alpacas. You know, we only paid for one because we're only filming one, but they get separation anxiety. So we brought in Cinnamon as our lead, and then Phoebe and Buffant were there to lend Cinnamon moral support.
Nice.
And it was a bitch and good time for everyone.
Sorry, Tim. That's Adam Alexander's role, moral support, and and just snuggles up. Also,
and we also, when we need Adam to say something, we put some peanut butter in his mouth.
It's a little peanut butter. Is that how you got these alpacas to talk? Was peanut butter in the mouth?
No, it was a carrot, actually. They have no back teeth, so you can put literally anything in their mouths and they just freak the fuck out. It's great.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, I can't remember the line of the song, I think it's, anyway, that they're, and it's synced up kind of amazingly well. I was wondering how long did you kind of spend getting that to sync up, because it's one of those things that either you have or you don't, right?
I mean all of it worked. I mean, it's a pretty mumbled line. Yeah, it was instant. The alpaca lip syncing gods were smiling upon me that week, and thank god, because otherwise it never would have gotten done.
They're underutilized gods, those alpacas, but
yeah,
so
I know,
they were stoked, right? For the opportunity to dust off the old shoes. You mentioned to me that there is a vomiting story associated with this music video. Is that true or false?
Yes. Well, I don't know. what you call it. I mean, alpacas spit, but they don't spit like we spit. You know, they spit green shit from their stomachs, like, as a defense mechanism. And every time you see the alpaca spitting a fireball, it is actually spitting. And the way we did that was Cinnamon's pregnant, and besides fending off, like, coyotes or whatever the fuck it is attacks alpacas, like, they also use it. If a female alpaca is pregnant, they'll spit at the males to be like, yo, I'm already pregnant. You can't get any of this. And I guess the males are like, all right. So at the end of the day, we brought in Buffon, the male alpaca. And Cinnamon saw Buffon and, like, threw a shit fit and started spitting everywhere. And we filmed it all in 120 frames per second. And, yeah, that was,
I'm learning a lot about, much more about alpacas than I thought I would, honestly.
Very
informative. I know, we all are. It's great.
Is that information that you knew going into this project? Or were you like, oh shit, how's this alpaca gonna spit? And then the alpaca guy's like, oh, just bring a Belfont out. He'll take care of everything.
No. I was like, yo, are they gonna spit? And can they do backflips? And they're like, here's how you get them to spit, and they can't do backflips. And I was like, all right. That was about it.
So you were gonna... You were hoping that they would do actual backflips in the
movie. I was honestly just curious to see how they would react. I wasn't banking on backflips, but if they could have, I would have gone for it.
Sure.
So this video is the scope of it is kind of insanely ambitious from, you know, where it starts, which is a rooftop party being DJ'd by a man of questionable DJ talent, I would say.
And that's the artist, dude.
I know, I know, but I'll cut that out.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, okay.
He just looked like he was kind of like,
okay, he's playing the part.
He's playing the part of like a DJ that is going to be attacked by alpacas. No offense to Valentino Khan. but then you kind of take it to this, like, there's sort of like a whole, like, disaster movie fit in here, and I'm sure the budget was not on par with a disaster movie. Like,
oh, no.
How did you approach that?
With, like, lots of caffeine and other stimulants. No, I don't know. I mean, the budget was ridiculously low. Like, we were shooting with photo permits, you know, and stuff. It was quite small, but... Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you beyond, like, not sleeping, you know, and lots of miniatures. That's all
on your shoulders. So you like, basically just get, like, packed into the edit bay at the university there?
Yeah, I occasionally, like, use Anthem's computers or, like, do what legitimate people do. But generally, I just con my way into using these very expensive machines to, you know, make art. Like this. But yeah, I can do 2D compositing pretty well, but I don't know anything about 3D or like any of that. So, you know, everything you see is like miniatures, like the tanks and helicopters and stuff. And then, the background plates are just stuff. I just took the subway to downtown and like took a bunch of photos with my 7D and then went back. Well, actually, no, that was the school 72. So, you know, I'm pretty good at mooching. But yeah, that was it. You know, by the end of the 3 weeks, what?
I said that's important, mooching.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of the 3 weeks, like, you know, there's these janitors that walk by, and they generally don't speak much English, but I could start picking up the word alpaca. They would huddle in a little corner and kind of look at what I was doing and be like, "What the fuck is this?" And you know, don't blame them.
There's a 7-Up logo on the music video. Like the YouTube kind of like still they show you before you play it. I was wondering if they're... So is that like a product tie-in?
I don't fucking know, dude. I mean, I sent you guys an email like, help me. I'm like a grandma and don't know how to switch the Dsalt video source to Vimeo, but...
Oh, we got yes, you. We'll take care of that.
That's UKF, which is funny because last year I had videos get canned both by UKF and Alsla, and now they're both... forced to promote my alpacas with 7-Up. It's a strange world.
That's every director we've ever asked about something that has been placed on their video has literally no idea about it. Especially like every time we've talked to a director who has the Shazam for More place, like not just like on a graphic above it, but like in the like on the video source itself.
Usually they're like, that wasn't up there like yesterday. Like it's like a new thing that they put up there. I wanted to ask about the lost it.
The what? Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Doug is pretty. He is pretty. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. The Vimeo screenshot is way, way better.
Yeah. Dude, I got Vimeo teased again. This has happened to me 3 times where someone in the staff will like it and leave a nice comment, and I'm like, are they going to staff pick it? Because I'm nobody until I get a staff pick. And then it doesn't happen. And I'm like, all right, someday. And sorry, that just got really dark.
But that did get a little dark. Well, yeah.
The video is pretty dark itself too. This killer alpacas, people are running away immediately. And Adam mentioned the artist earlier, and I'm curious, how do you get an artist on board with a crazy idea like this? Because he gives a pretty great performance in there as well.
Well, you know, him being the guy who suggested alpacas, he was pretty on board. Yep. It's funny because, you know, like, he told me, like, he's a really normal dude. He just one day on Instagram posted, like, this handlebar mustache as a joke, and, like, people loved it. And from there, it kind of just became this spoof image of him as a douchebag, you know, with, like, the white suits and stuff. So he's a super normal guy, but he just, like, he plays this part so well of just, like, this very strange kind of scuzzy 80s real estate agent that, like, you know, he just has this, like, really trashy image that he can play up, because he doesn't – you look at him and you don't – he doesn't – he's very self-aware, but he doesn't read as self-aware, you know, if that makes sense. You know, he plays – I don't know if you guys saw the hard – it was some EDM festival trailer, but he does the same thing where, like, he has this voicemail where it's like, it's Valentino here. If I'm not at the phone, I'm getting paid or getting laid. And, like, he has all these sad voicemails from Jessica Alba, like – he's not returning her calls. Like, he just plays that part really well. it's great that he's not actually that ridiculous, because he knows how to milk it, you know. Actually, the salute at the end was his idea.
So most of that performance, the way he's kind of, like, doing, like, his the character that he kind of plays in the video, that all kind of came with him?
Yeah, he kind of just... Well, you know, when he saw the kitten log line, because at a certain point he started saying log lines and treatments, I wrote it kind of around him, and I added the maids and, like, you know, all this stuff that fit his image. Because if you Google him, like, there's this fucking ridiculous picture of him getting into a helicopter and with this golden briefcase, and, like, instantly I just knew who he was and, like, what image to give him and what kind of role he played within this just insanity that unfolds.
So I don't feel as bad now, because... saying a DJ of questionable talent, because he is playing a character there. That is not actually him. And I'm looking at the helicopter picture right now, and I'll put it in the show notes, because it's a fantastic picture. Because there are bags of money with a dollar sign in the helicopter, as well as loose bars of gold, which is seems to me like a safety hazard.
And that goes on in the video, too, right? He jumps on a helicopter and escapes.
Yeah, we actually built a miniature version of that same helicopter so he could jump onto it.
And you're no stranger to miniatures, right? You do that stuff a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I would say it's more grounded than previous stuff has been. You know, the more money I get, the more stuff happens in real life, and the less I have to rely on, like, green screens. You know, like, if you look at something like 80s Fitness, you know, it's more Tim and Eric status, where this is still very weird, but, you know, it feels more tangible. At least that's what I hope. You know, that's what I'm shooting for.
Yeah, but... I think in the 80s Fitness one, the miniatures are pretty recognizable. I didn't actually realize that you were using miniatures in this one.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, we just shot a bunch of little tanks. Like, every time they're rolling by, it's just us pulling them on a string, you know? it's the way of the future.
It is, yeah. The future is tiny rolling tanks. how long did you shoot with these alpacas? Because they have so many, like, kind of unique moves in this. Like, there's a one scene where they kind of, like, their neck reaches down into the city streets.
It wasn't more than, like, 4 hours.
Really? Wow.
We basically just let it roll and just shot everything. We had, like, I think we have literally a terabyte of alpaca footage, you know, just, it's, I mean, alpacas only have two thoughts. There's, like, that is possibly food and I want to investigate it, and that is probably not food and I'm scared of it. So, you know, you just have to play those up as much as you can. And some of the neck craning was done in post. Like, when he runs in the alley and the alpaca pokes his head around, like, that was... I had to disassemble the alpaca digitally and animate its neck, which is a very normal activity.
Yeah, disassembling, digitally disassembling an alpaca. That could be like a resume log line.
Yeah.
Do you have an hours count on VFX hours?
Huh? Oh, like, no. I mean, too many. But I want to say, because I spent like 3 weeks, and then I had to redo some of the effects in the first scene because Valentino wanted to cast his own basic bitches and reshoot it. So we had an entirely different set of basic bitches at first, but they're really? Now lost in cyberspace. Yeah.
Not basic enough?
No. I don't know, man. But
wait a second. Hold on. Let's see if I understand this. So you shot the entire first scene with him there.
We shot it again. So one thing you'll notice is there are close-up shots where he's actually touching a DJ table. Mm-hmm. And there are wides where I tried to crop it out. You can see a few times that he's just fiddling his hands on a blank table. That's because he couldn't get his DJ table back for the reshoot, which is hilarious.
That is very hilarious.
And he was the one. The only reason this reshoot was happening because he wanted his ladies in it.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it didn't occur to me to ask the label, yeah, could you guys just, like, get a ton? Because he actually got way more people, too, which is funny. So I actually think it does look better. But, he handled himself, and more power to him. Shit, I don't care.
But the casting was for basic bitches. You weren't looking for special bitches. You wanted the basic ones?
I mean, you'd have to ask him, but I think that was the idea. I mean, we really did want it to seem like a terrible generic video at first. I wouldn't say the other videos like this I've seen are full of special bitches, so, you know, we'll let the term stay.
I think it's tough to diagnose whether someone is a basic bitch or not just by looking at them. I feel like it's more like a deeper
like
kind of
speaking
trait.
In full sentences and
right, yeah. I mean, there are the outward traits, but you have to spend some time with somebody to know if they're truly a basic bitch or not. I feel
it's
like
true. Maybe I'm overstepping the mark a little bit. Apologies.
Oh, apologies to the bitches. Apologies who accepted. Basic. we're just a little sensitive because Adam Alexander is a basic here, bitch.
This is true.
Oh man, yeah, I still can't get over how much better the screenshot is on the Vimeo version, because we've had the way my homepage is configured for IMVDB and who I follow on it, mm-hmm. Makes and Noise has been on my homepage for like a week and a half, and I always chuckle when I see where it says music video on the screenshot, as if there would be anything else on, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, gotta love UKF. Yeah, I don't know. They work in mysterious ways.
So we were talking before the podcast, you graduated from good old college, good old university.
In April, yeah.
And you were doing VFX work, so, and directing, obviously. So we're talking about a video you directed. What is the, I mean, what path do you want to continue on a VFX path or want to do more directing?
I mean, I want to do more directing, but I mean, like, you know, I'm pretty much like a fetus, you know, super like young. So I don't mind doing effects on the side. You know, it's money and I get to go on set and meet people. I think the main thing, as long as I get to supervise and be on set, you know, it's fun and it's worth the time. And if I'm not booking directing gigs, then why not? You know, as long as the director is chill to work with, John's super fun to work with. I mean, I started as like a focus puller for him back when he was still at the school. And like, you know, he knows how to keep the vibe on a set very fun. And so I don't mind, you know, definitely putting in the time. And
that is John Agasava, who is the director of many. We haven't had him on we've had him on the blog, not the podcast yet.
And the commentaries.
And the commentaries as well. He's done some great commentaries for us. We'll put a link to those in the show notes there. He's awesome. I would agree you're young, because that is in your bio on IMDb. That is literally the first thing you say. You say I'm 22. so you got to be upfront about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when people see how young I am, they're like, we should let him pitch on stuff because we can exploit him because no money but effects. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's
time to sneak back on campus.
What?
I said, it's time to sneak back on campus and stretch that budget. In terms of these miniatures, because I'm really interested in these, are you making a lot of them yourself? Do you have like a production design team that helps?
It depends on the project. This is an actually interesting story. So you look at Dan Novotny, the production designer. If you look him up on IMDb, his other credit is he's been doing the past 12 seasons of CSI, which is strange. He saw my work. I forget how he saw my work, but he hit me up and he was like, I'm bored of CSI. Are you doing any more music videos? And I was like, yes. And he just built these tanks himself. So I just have this very funny, I know he built them on the Universal lot, so I have this funny picture of him like in the secret workbench, like secretly building these tanks while he's supposed to be like working on a network television show. It's pretty funny. But yeah, he's a super cool guy. I mean, like, you know, he helped me build these little things pro bono and got the wheelbarrow full of all the stuff. It was, I think he had fun. I think it felt like he was living dangerously, where I'm very tired of living dangerously and would like money. But, you know,
it's, I feel like a show like CSI is not one where somebody is going to come up to you and say, for this episode, we need some tiny tanks.
Mm-hmm.
That usually is probably more like, we need some guns or something, or, you know, whatever.
Well, what's funny is, he was so, he like took me to LA, he's like, here's an alley you should shoot in. We found a bunch of bodies in here, and I was like, I don't want to shoot somewhere where you've like found bodies. Like, no, dude, on the show. And I was like, oh, I see.
That's probably a conversation that he has a lot, where he's like, blah, 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 no, on the show. Because, 12 years of CSI, that's intense. And so what are you working on for John Agustavo now?
It's a video on Sub Pop for Head in the Heart. It's different for him. I'm doing a few other things with him now, too. I'm not sure how public those are, but this one, what I'm doing right now is pretty chill. It's just a video for a folk band, which, you know, John started as a rap director. It's a very different thing for him. And it was fun, but it was super embarrassing because we were shooting in Seattle in this field, and I just finished alpacas. Like, my plane flight was at 10 a.m. I finished Valentino at 9 a.m. in Anthem's offices. I'd been up for like a week straight, so we would have these 4 a.m. call times. I'd fall asleep like in a field, just like sitting down. And so there's all these BTS photos of like all this cool shit happening, and there's Tim in the corner, just like asleep in like a sitting position. I mean, it's awesome.
I've seen these photos actually. Now you mentioned it. Doug, didn't you send me one of these?
Oh man, I don't.
Somebody, I've seen one of
these.
These
are going around now, huh?
Yeah, right. We're passing them around. We print them out and we hang them up on our wall here.
Yeah, my nickname is Field Sleeper. I'm on.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's weird, because that definitely, is it on Facebook? Because I may have seen
it's on
it
Facebook
on
somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, because I've definitely seen that. Yeah, that's in a way that's super
hilarious.
Well, it is hilarious, but then again, you are sleep deprived.
Well, yeah, constantly. But
right,
you know.
It's not like you're narcoleptic or something like that. Like, you haven't slept, so it's super understandable.
Well, I hope so.
We determine whether or not it is, and we say it.
Okay,
so that's, you're good.
And you have a huge relief.
And never worry about it again.
Your Facebook picture is of you and an alpaca, and it's interesting
because
you're wearing all brown, just like the alpaca, which is a nice touch. I don't know if that was planned or not.
Me and Cinnamon didn't plan this, no.
It was so embarrassing. You showed up, you're like, oh, Cinnamon, what the fuck, yo? The interesting thing about that Facebook picture, not from this music video, that's just you hanging out with that alpaca at a completely unrelated time, which is weird.
Yeah, you probably rented for parties and stuff.
Alpaca parties. Adam Alexander knows about those.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, I mean, you know, with any star talent, it's like, you can't seem like you're trying to poach them. You have to hang out with them, pretend to be their friend, and then slowly they'll start doing favors for you like this. I've seen Cinnamon on a lot of parties.
The picture on Facebook of you sleeping says, the 4 a.m. call time, and is this true, no coffee on set? That seems barbaric.
There was no coffee on that particular day. There was cold brew on the other day, and that's the only way I, like, survived. But there was none.
I don't understand the cold brew. Doug's big into the cold brew.
I mean, it's just like meth, but like coffee. It's awesome.
Cold brew's good. I drink a little bit too much, and then I get a little dicey. But that's okay.
That's when Doug starts staff picking Coldplay videos.
No, that's you staff picking the Coldplay videos, man. That's your life. You staff pick Weezer and Coldplay videos all day.
Well, okay. Well, I guess that's a good segue to talk a little bit about the music videos of the week here, because this is actually an exciting week, because there are some super awesome. Sometimes the week is not that great, but this was a really awesome week for music videos. We had plenty to staff pick from. And maybe we should get into a few of them now. And maybe we should start with the one you mentioned there, Weezer.
Yeah, let's talk about Weezer.
Weezer Back to the Shack.
I'm not big on performance videos that aren't directed by Warren Fu, but this one was, so I could roll with it. I suppose I was hoping for something that reflected the lyrics a little more, just because I love that song. But because Warren Fu did it, I don't give a shit. Looks really cool. I can roll. You know, it's. I just felt like I wanted to see them old doing dumb shit, but I can roll with it. I can roll with the moon.
Well, the thing is, the thing I love about this concept, and it's such so simple. They're playing the Weezer is playing on the moon, with a lot of great directors, the concept is not secondary, but the number one aspect of it is the execution of it, all the little details. Like the, for one thing, it's not like kind of a made up space, set or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're not obviously on the moon, but all the set pieces and things like that are made in the style of '60s to '90s NASA, like that gold foil, all that kind of there's nothing invented. It all looks real and it all looks like really utilitarian, which I thought was really really an interesting choice.
Warren Fu is the master of retro future, and it's interesting watching, as he does more minimal videos, how he can pull off that vibe with fewer props, because if you look at some earlier things
Must Be the Feeling is a great example of a massive retro future feeling video that he did.
Yeah, and then you compare that to his Heim video where he evokes the 70s with a logo and a red background, it's a touchy thing, and I salute being able to do that. I salute being able to make simple videos. I don't have that chip in my brain. I would like to. My life would be easier.
And then, there's the slight slow motion on it, which I think is brilliant, which kind of mimics the lesser gravity on the moon. And then there's the amazing camera work by let me pull up his name.
I love that guy.
It is Byron Werner, who's a fantastic DP, and just some of the angles and some of the just the compositions in this are fantastic. I really love this video. I've been a Weezer fan for a long time, so I can remember the era that Back to the Shack is talking about, and the old kind of more classic Weezer here. And these guys are they're not super old, but they're getting to that point where they look like kind of crazy older rock stars, especially Brian Bell, and to a lesser extent Pat Wilson. And so I think it was a really good time to do a Warren Fu style performance video, because I think they look really cool.
Yeah, it was a sweet video. And it's funny. This Weezer album is actually being relatively well received. People are saying it's the best Weezer album in 10 years and stuff. And so, it's interesting because they've also been a band who's made some great music videos. It's interesting you say it's the right time for a Warren Fu style music video. I also agree. It's really well timed, and it seems like they're in the right mind state for the promotion of this album. So super super cool music video. I like to watch it.
That's a Doug seal of approval.
Let's move on to another music video that I really like to watch, and that's Never Catch Me by Flying Lotus, featuring Kendrick Lamar, directed by Hiro Murai. What'd you guys think of this music video?
Oh, dude, this was rad. That's it. It was just again, a very simple video that's super rad. The first time I watched it, I was like, I want to know more about the characters, and then I realized that's stupid, and it's just, why would you cram that much in when it's just
so poignant without it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, it's best left to the imagination, so we can just focus on these badass kids dancing. You know, it's
We should talk a little bit about the what's in this video, because it's a really interesting concept. It takes place at a funeral. Everybody there is black, and it's at a nice looking church, and there are two coffins at the on the altar, and it's revealed that it is a boy and a girl. I don't know how old they'd be, maybe like 12-ish, 10.
Yeah, definitely like elementary or early middle school age.
Yeah, and so they get up out of the coffins and start dancing, and they're amazing dancers, and I think that one of the most interesting aspects of this video is they get up and start dancing, but nobody reacts.
Right, like is, I mean, you can read into it how you'd like, and I don't want to fill that in, but the kind of like maybe it's there's not actually them in the physical form, them
like a ghost, kind
of soul, their souls or something, because then they eventually kind of dance out into the street and get into a hearse, and the girl kind of drives them away. And yeah, I like that it lacks the context, too much context, that you don't see, like, you know, because there's. You see dead young kids, and especially in this current climate when there's been a lot of, you know...
In this post-Columbine world. No,
well, not post-Columbine world, yeah, but, no, you know, post, yeah, like... Sorry. You know, there's a... You know, you feel in the... You think gun violence or some kind of thing, you know, 12-year-old kids don't just kind of die naturally.
Well, yeah.
So you start to think that there's some kind of violence involved and stuff, but it allows you to kind of fill that in yourself, and it doesn't... It's not too heavy-handed with that stuff, and it makes it so it's like not a music video about gun violence or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I eventually realized. Like, you know, after watching it, and I think it's more powerful because you can walk away with your own conclusions and like or not. You don't need to, and I think that makes it, you know, way more powerful.
Yeah, and the dancing is a sweet dancing.
The dancing
is
awesome.
Yeah,
it's such a cool way that it's it's such a simultaneously dark and joyous video. Like,
yeah.
I love that contrast. It's really perfect.
Yeah, because the kids aren't like sad when they're dancing or anything like that. And it's also not like a sad kind of like downtrodden form of dancing. It's a very high energy, and it's a very fast paced song as well. But it's also a very kind of like heavy song. Also, it's not a song about asses or
yeah. And did you see on Twitter, Hero tweeted that he was like, I gotta be honest, I was really scared of fucking this video up.
There's a song that's been like, it's been highly, like the Flying Lotus Kendrick Lamar combination has been talked about for a while, and there has been stories of kind of like Flying Lotus waiting for Kendrick to record this verse and like delaying things for this song, and it was the first single from the new Flying Lotus album, and yeah, it's been a buzzing song, and this video like is the perfect compliment.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, I mean, in terms of a track that should be very difficult to conceptualize, this thing is perfect for this song in every way. It's all, like, I mean, it fits. It just fits.
And still completely unexpected too. Like, you hear the song,
sure,
and it's not like, yeah, like, oh, this is gonna be two dead,
no,
dead kids dancing. I knew
That's the thing. You'd be like, how do you make a video that goes with this? Is what I would think. I don't know. It's crazy, but this just fits.
Not Hero. So yeah, that's a fantastic video. Everyone watch it. I am running out of time at this production company. I think I have to leave at 11. So let's move on to another video. Let's talk about Electric Youth Runaway, directed by Noel Paul, who has also been interviewed for our blog. And this is a video that's super fun. What'd you guys think of this one? Not fun, but awesome.
I feel like this was another one that was kind of, I wouldn't say it's new territory, but it's familiar territory done very well. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen a lot of videos about the troubled couple on the run, but I wasn't bored during this one. And it's interesting. I don't know. There are a lot of shots that... The shot I keep just obsessing over is that last one where they're swinging... What are they on? They're just moving very... I guess they're on a motorcycle, but they're just moving very quickly under those sodium lights, you know, and I guess it's interesting because it doesn't feel like... There's a lot of shots that are just really beautiful, but they don't feel like they're lit or composed. They're just like the video just consists entirely of happy accidents.
And the characters are very attractive in unconventional ways. They each have like these, non-traditional elements. The guy's got something with his eyes that they're different, and the girl's, it starts with a focus on the scar on her back. They both have these imperfections, but they're also like very like interesting to look at and very attractive individuals as well. And I think that kind of is a also reflected in the area. And yeah, they ride that motorcycle in a very unconventional way. She kind of like straddles him as they ride.
As I watched this video, all of the film school parts of my brain lit up. Look at this symbolism here.
Right.
But yeah, Noel Paul does a really good job of kind of, because there's no like happy ending to this at all. It is super dark, even toward the end. Yeah. I guess they have each other at least, like. But
it's kind of like a release of an ending. But, like, I mean, spoiler alert, if you want to watch the video first, pause it and then watch it, then pick it up right now. But, like, they kind of die at the end, right? Like, it's a shot from inside the water, and it's both of them and the motorcycle kind of splashing into the water. And at least to me, I thought they crashed. They're riding a motorcycle in a very unsafe way. And she's kind of, like, aggressively kissing him and stuff like that. She's been drinking. And then, like, suddenly they splash into the water. And so, to me, they kind of crash. And it's kind of like an ending to them. And they start the video with her saying, take me home and stuff. There are some kind of, like, allusions to that. But either way, it's just kind of, like, really beautiful and kind of a refreshing video.
Refreshing, like a nice cup of 7-Up. And
brought to you by UKF.
I know, this would be a crazy video to put a 7-Up logo on. So Doug, it's 11, do you need to go?
Yeah, I might bet, but you guys keep talking about stuff because I gave you guys more videos to talk about.
We're going to do it. And Doug, yeah, congratulations on being in New York, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, boys.
Godspeed, Doug.
Thanks, guys. And if anyone's wondering, my favorite video of the week was Shut Up by Conway, directed by Zach Stoltz. It wasn't a video that I told you guys to watch, but I suggest people watch it because it's got like 50 music video director cameos in there. So check that one out.
I was getting the cast list and I was like, what? So I look forward to sitting down.
Yeah, check it out. They all do dumb things, but it's super funny. All right, guys. See you guys next week. Love you, boys. Bye.
Ooh, not returning that.
It got sensual very quickly.
And then there were three. You guys want to talk about Animals by Maroon 5?
Sure, that's a good one to talk about. First of all, I just think terms of a very mainstream pop video, this is like one of the darkest ones I've ever seen.
Let's talk about the plot a little bit, because people have been talking about this. We always have a video, or hopefully every week, we have a video that people have been talking about, chatting about.
Maybe I live under a rock. No idea what Maroon 5 like looks like. Is main creepy bro? Is that the singer?
Adam Levine. Okay. Adam Levine is. It's like Chris Martin for Coldplay. He's like the lead front guy and does a lot of solo stuff outside of the band. Like, he's one of the judges on The Voice on NBC and a few other things. But anyway, yeah, this is him kind of creeping it out, and he plays somebody who was the worst butcher in the world at a butcher shop. A woman comes in, he is interested in her, and the rest is a very weird kind of stalker story where he is stalking her in all manners, taking in sort of the dumb classic ways of like taking pictures of her and like developing them, in like a dark room, but also like breaking into her apartment and sleeping next to her. There's no real resolution, but this video has been attracting a lot of criticism for the graphic bloody images. At one point, him and her are making out nude, covered in some sort of animal blood.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I feel like I don't know. I wasn't that shocked watching it, but I felt like it was designed to shock people who would share angry articles about it. So the people watch the video, You know, like,
yeah, and it's all about the circle that and the demographic of people that listen to Maroon 5. Like, that's where the shock factor comes in.
That's
like,
true.
Had this come from like the indie or the alternative pool of music videos, it would be a, you know, it would fit in a little better. But this is like the only Maroon 5 video about a stalker slash maybe serial killer. Definitely.
And we should mention that this is directed by Samuel Bayer, who, if you look on his page in IMDb, has tons of legendary videos.
Like, oh, yeah, no, I know he's like an old hat. I mean, you know, whenever, for whatever reason, I'm subscribed to Company 3's Instagram, whenever I see a music video from them, I'm like, oh, 90s director who can still afford them. You know? So I knew going in kind of that's what it would be. And I mean, I think it's pretty cool for something that big. Obviously, everything technical about it is super rad. It's just kind of, it's like you said, it feels like one of those weird moments where pop kind of apes stuff that's already happening in the alternative world, and everyone else is shocked about it, and then us music video nerds are just kind of sitting in the corner like, well, I mean, that happened already, but all right.
Yeah,
we've seen Eric Wareheim videos, so this is
yeah,
like tame
exactly.
comparison.
It's like...
I think the most like direct comparison, and Adam, I think that's a great kind of way to look at this, because I got a vibe of Time to Dance by The Shoes, which is starring Jake Gyllenhaal, but is definitely on the indie side. This came out 2 years ago, directed by Daniel Wolfe, and it is much more graphic and much more bloody, but it kind of has the same, a little bit of the same, some narrative elements, and just the same kind of vibe. That Time to Dance is significantly more gritty, and I think ultimately much more successful, but...
Yeah, on this one, I was kind of, like, snickering a little bit by the end, like, oh, they're kissing in blood. That's not what normal people do, you know?
Yeah, I was fast-forwarding by the end, honestly, yeah.
I think it makes sense for Adam Levine, too. He's kind of, and I do watch The Voice, I'll admit it, but he's kind of an artist who, like, he sort of lies happily within the constraints of mainstream, but he also kind of wants to be really different at the same time. And I think both those things come through in this video, him sort of maintaining that mainstream kind of persona, but still kind of, you know, trying to push the envelope as far as you can with mainstream pop.
Yeah, and, you know, it didn't have Hype Williams syndrome where, like, you know, it's just a direct ripoff of one thing, you know? It definitely is, like, you know, like, I mean, we've all seen All of the Lights and compared it to Enter the Void, you know, that's kind of that dude's career, but more power to him. You know, it doesn't feel that derivative, you know, it's just something to it, although I feel like it's hard to get past the just feeling of like, okay, this is a sanitized version of something that was far more interesting, but, you know, it shot so well, I guess I can roll with it.
And can we say that Adam Levine is super ripped? I think he might even be more ripped than Lenny Kravitz was from the video a few weeks ago. But Adam Levine is—he's younger than Lenny Kravitz. So
yeah, I mean they both look fantastic in this video.
He
so
could
that's
kick all of those dead cows' asses like, without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, there's a few weird shots where he's like hugging one of the big cow meat things.
He just needs a friend.
Yeah, he just yeah.
What I thought was bizarre was when
those are alpacas.
Cinnamon's ultimate fate. what I thought was bizarre was the band performance just seems so out of place. I was like, oh, there's no way just to put you guys in there awkward without it being awkward, you know, like
and I think
this fucked up story, and then the bassist is just kind of chilling like in the club playing like, all right, I don't see this happening, I'm here.
Yeah, definitely, that was a little, because it didn't seem like the type of venue that would have a live rock band, especially with lead singer with like long hair, but maybe I just don't get out that much, maybe I just don't know, you know. I would love to talk about It Girl by Pharrell.
Let's do another voice coach.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Actually, Pharrell's new on The Voice this year, right?
Yeah, he's new on this.
And somebody who's a fan of The Voice, so how's he doing?
He's doing good. I think he'll probably win as an early guest. I'm going to put some money down on that with no.
I don't own a television or know how this show works. This is news to me. I guess Pharrell's on TV now.
He is on TV. He's a judge on The Voice, and he is sort of in this music video because it is all pretty much all animated and all graphics, and it has a very. I feel like there needs to be somebody who's super into kind of Japanese anime and Japanese culture to decipher this video for us. I do not know anything about.
Well, it's
that.
Funny seeing Pharrell do a video like this. I mean, like, you know, I was in high school, what, like 4 or 5 years ago, and when I was in high school, the anime kids were just like, you know, they're just the genetic fuck, you know, they're like, we kind of thought of them as genetic fuck-ups. You don't want to get any of them on you, you know, and now, like, here's fucking Pharrell in a hardcore weeaboo video. It's strange seeing it just encroach more and more, but I thought it was very bizarre. I don't know, like, that it, you see, like, people appropriate 8-bit shit on a quasi-regular basis, but you don't get see anyone get this detailed ever. You know, it's very strange how, I don't know, just how many facets of bizarre Japanese video games you went into.
How weird it is. Yeah, the 8-bit video game sequence in this were superb. I mean, just the sort of fidelity to
I think the whole thing is done really well.
Like, yeah, it's beautiful.
Like, the illustrations
video
are great. Like, everything's really good. It just has kind of a weird, wonky cohesiveness to it. I don't know.
I'm in the camp that I love this video, and we should just mention it's directed by Mister and Fantasia. Sorry, Fantasista Utamuro, and it is not Mr. Fantasista Utamuro. Those are two separate entities. The interesting thing is they kind of, it's not just one video game style they kind of replicate. There are several different styles with subtle differences, from like the kind of like the mid 80s 8-bit look all the way up to like, you know, sort of mid 90s. Nintendo probably Super Nintendo kind of look to it. And there's also a ton of anime, obviously.
There's even Pharrell himself, as he's animated, is done in like a painterly style, more like a watercolor.
Yeah,
they kind of mix it all up.
Successful of the part of the video for me.
Yeah, it feels out of place. They should have done him in an anime style as well.
I think he's in there as anime a few places.
Well, he's in there as an 8-bit kind of an anime character.
With the hat, yeah.
But the rest, he's more painted.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
But it's like it looks just like a Photoshop filter, though, like an embossing glow filter.
That's my favorite Photoshop filter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to go with one, it should be that.
It should be
It reminds me a little bit of, I don't know, I can't find it on IMDb, but there's an awesome video, Goldfish We Come Together, that's similar to this, but a bit more focused, I suppose. I feel like this video is just, it was the entire country of Japan condensed into 3 minutes. But
we'll get that up on the database. Goldfish We Come Together.
It's like another all sprite animation video.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, we'll get that up there. By the way, we recently passed 40,000 videos, but we're not there yet. I'm getting there one by one. We don't want to. When we let a video in that shouldn't be in there, I get angry emails. There was a One Direction fan video that accidentally made its way into the database, and I got angry emails from One Direction fans.
It's hilarious.
Mainly me.
Yeah, it was directly from Adam. From
multiple fake accounts.
Yeah.
Oh, we swear.
Adam Alexander _2.
What the fuck is this?
It's a tough business. It's a tough racket. Let's just do one more, because I really want to mention this video for a number of reasons, and that is Old 45s by Chromeo. And we should just, some key people here are directed by Dugan O'Neill, but also choreographed by Ryan Heffington, and this also takes place in a bar, so that should flashback, make those connections in your mind to the Arcade Fire We Exist video, and there are definitely some similarities in here. And we mentioned Haim earlier, and they also make cameos in this. So what do you guys think of this one?
This was a great bait and switch, but I was surprised at how long they kept the ruse of it being a serious, like, sexy video going, and then out of nowhere, John Hader.
Yeah.
Kind of great.
John Hader, who people would know as Napoleon Dynamite, I think, mainly.
So my one thing is, I really liked the video. I loved it. It was really good. And it was 6 minutes, so it's fairly long. But my thing with this video, and I don't know a lot about editing and stuff like that, but I feel like there's a lot of good stuff that had to be cut in this video. I feel like I would have liked more Haim, and I don't know. I just feel like I want like a 20-minute version. Did you guys feel like there was some good stuff cut here?
No? I guess I can see how you think that. That wasn't like the first thing that came to mind, but it would, you know, I'm always down to see more Hein beating people up. I don't see enough of that.
Yeah, S Time just takes looks like a sledgehammer or something. I didn't fully understand the ending, and I watched it a few times, but maybe I'm just kind of, because John Hader, what is his name? Yeah, John Hader walks into the bar and says, "I'm sorry for what's about to happen," but then he walks out and everybody fights each other, but I'm not sure. Does anybody know why they're fighting each other?
And maybe that's
I just assumed it was because music videos.
That's a good reason as any, yeah. If for the Chromeo fans out there, like I love this track. This has been my favorite track off White Women for a long, long time. I'm super excited they made a video. And I would also like to, do you guys ever know, whenever there's a bar like this, the bartender is always cleaning glasses?
That's the thing.
It all started with Never Gonna Give You Up, Man. It's what they're aping.
They're also day drinking in this video. It's like 2 in the afternoon. That
just
bar is
like
pumping.
Gasly, man.
Is there a bartender cleaning glasses and Never Gonna Give
There
you
is
up?
A bartender cleaning glasses, and he also starts dancing. We'll never reach that high again.
I did not. I'm going to go back and watch this video right after we got off the podcast. And we should mention that, of course, Dugan O'Neill directed my song number 5 for Haim, which is why I guess he decided to bring him along for this video, which is good. They're kind of chilling out, having a doing some day drinking. There's also a great moment in this video where the song totally drops out, and the bartender is talking about his new tighter pants and how he likes the way they grip him. So, there's a lot of stuff in this video that is exactly as you said. Because the music video. And I think that probably completes Chromeo's pretty amazing run of music videos for the White Women album. Starting with the Jealous video. Maybe I'm an idiot. It's Come Alive on that album.
Yeah, that's Tori Amoy. That had the video that was like Mannequin.
Right. So, okay. Yeah. Like, and man, then Jealous ain't with it in the old 40s.
I need
a great
to catch
children.
Up on my Chromeo.
I do.
Yeah, and they've got When the Night Falls from 2011, directed by Daniels, which is a fantastic.
Oh wait, I've seen
video.
That one. Is that from the same album? I'm just
no.
That's
an older one.
I don't actually know what's happening with music ever. I just occasionally. No, but I love that video. So I assume he has consistently pretty awesome taste. I'm curious as to how John Hader ended up there. But I accept it.
Yeah, it's one of those. I think it's one of those deals where it's like because music videos. I feel like music videos are becoming, you know, maybe like 10 years ago for like indie cred, you did, an independent film or whatever. And I think people still do that, but I think a lot of actors and actresses are turning to music videos to get like a little rolling here and there, you know, just to get a little kind of like, even with like Jake Gyllenhaal with the Time to Dance video, that's a pretty serious role.
And like, you know, you look at Weekend, like by David Wolfe. I don't know if he likes to go by all three words in his name. I'll have to ask him next time I see him. But like that, you know, the lead guy from that was in The Descendants, and he just kind of randomly appears in music videos. And I see more and more of that, but. You know, not even with A-listers so much, it's just like people you know you've seen their face before, but you're not sure where. And,
exactly,
It's just interesting. Like, I don't know.
Well, a few weeks ago, the Black Widow video by Iggy Azalea featuring Rita Ora came out, and Michael Madsen was in it, just like randomly. And so it was like Paul Sorvino and T.I., it's just one of those things where it's so easy to appear in a music video. It's such like a low time commitment and commitment in general that I think people like of all kind of levels are like, yeah, sure, I'll do a music video. And if, you know, all the way from a cameo level, all the way up to like Andrew Garfield in the Arcade Fire We Exist video.
Oh, yeah, or like, you know, the best, most justified use of celebrities like recently, the whole Jenny Lewis one. That was
that's a good one.
And I think people realize like it's, you know, it's one thing to have a captive audience, but you know, like put yourself in a music video, people are sharing gifs of you on Tumblr. That's not really the kind of PR you can get easily any other way, you know, and especially not so quickly. Such a short time commitment, you know. I think people realize it's a good way to keep themselves in the public consciousness a little bit without seeming like they're trying to.
And I think it's an indicator of how popular music videos are right now and how interested people are in them as a medium, which hasn't always been the case. And I think that's whatever's good for music videos is good for IMDb. So there you go. or maybe it's the other way around. I'm not really sure. We serve at the behest of people who want to find out information about music videos. So there you go. We don't do it for the sacks of money. well, sweet. I think we covered it, and we didn't have Doug's voice in there. But you know, if you really want to know what Doug thought about these videos, you can get him at doug@imvdb.com. And I'm sure he'll tell you. He'll probably even get on the phone with you. Maybe do a half an hour consult. Tell you about these videos. But Tim, thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, no worries, dude. Always happy to drop in and talk about whatever obscure mammal I've worked with lately. You know,
yeah.
Who knows what's next?
I'm going to be kind of disappointed if there's not a larger and more terrifying, you know, lights shooting out of its eyes mammal in your next video. So you set the bar pretty high.
All right.
And
I'll try my best.
And sweet, we'll see you guys next week.
Cool.
And then there were two.
Yep.